Hey, listeners. Before we get started with the show, I want to let you know that we are doing a listener survey because even though we're 4 years in, we don't really know that much about you. So if you could head over to our website, higher-ed.social/survey, that'd be great. There's only a couple questions that we need you to fill out. And if you do, you can actually enter to win a free seat for you and your campus colleagues to the upcoming Higher Ed Experts Analytics Conference. That is a $500 value, my friends. So head over to our website, higher-ed.social/survey, and please fill out the survey. If your friends are listeners of the show, send it along to them too. Tell them to enter, and they can win. Thanks. I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network. Sorry. I was having some kitty issues, so.
You too.
Yeah, I just introduced Michael to Casey as per her whining, so.
Yeah, had to get medicine into a cat, so.
Oh,
that's fun.
That sucks.
Yikes.
It's the worst.
And now
we're all here now.
Now he's all here, loving up on me. So. Yeah, Simon is my child. Stuart, my cat, who apparently is the most expensive cat that I've ever had, he decided that he was going to almost die this weekend. So that was fun. So he, I was joking because originally he was going to cost about as much as a new MacBook Pro, but instead it only costs as much as a new MacBook Air. So
yeah.
So we saved a few $100s.
I guess. On the bright side.
Look on the bright side. Yeah, I always think of things in terms of how much and how many Apple products it's going to cost me. But yeah, it's funny because he had just like a little blockage thing and apparently they die within 24 hours. So yeah. It's very sad. But he's actually good.
Logan, so. You're doing a really great job at like making this an enjoyable experience for our new guest.
Oh, it's fine. Sorry, I'm just telling the story. And the other thing too is like I grabbed a 400 degree pan while I was cooking dinner today, so
hey,
I have a little first degree burn on my hands, so that's fun too. So it's been a great weekend. It's been awesome. I'm so excited. It's over. I get to go back to work.
My partner, she's a vet, so I hear all sorts of things.
Oh.
So I'm just like, yep, this sounds about normal.
Well, cool. Well, I guess we're good to go. The show's you're the third guest of 2018. So congratulations.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll probably keep in some of the cat talk because that's always fun. We haven't talked about cats on the show in forever.
I'm sure it's probably only been like an episode and a half.
Well, it's because Jackie keeps muting the cat, so we don't have anything to talk about.
I think it's a very annoying meow, so I try to spare our listeners from obnoxious things, so.
Well, you know, it's not that obnoxious.
Okay.
I mean, in small quantities. It's cute
when she,
in small quantities.
When she wakes me up at 4 a.m, I will call you and have you listen to it.
But at least, but you see, you're going to wake up at 4:15 anyway. Right?
Yes.
So
that's when I go to the gym because that's the only time I have. And Casey now has learned that. And so even on days I don't go to the gym, she's like, it's 4 a.m. Aren't you going to wake up? And I'm like, no, Casey, it's Saturday.
That's kind of obnoxious.
It is.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, your cat's obnoxious.
Michael, do you have any pets?
No, but my partner, she has a beagle. And she was a research dog for 3 years. So her first 3 years, she was in research. So she had to learn like social cues and like, you know, to just be potty trained like later on in life. So it's been interesting. She's super cute, but she has quite a few things that she still needs to learn.
Interesting. I've never heard of a.
Anxious.
Yeah, what is a? Should I know what a research dog is? I've never heard of that.
So this was like
Been
a
research
research for
dog.
like a, for actual veterinary science. Yeah, I don't know
Got it.
what
Okay.
the extent of that research was, but I know that she was like a. It was like her and she had like a couple of brothers and sisters. It was like a research on beagles and. Yeah, so they all are really just interesting. Like her sister, which doesn't live with my partner, she's with someone else. So the beagle sister is like extremely anxious and runs around in like circles because she's super anxious and has to be on medication. And then our dog just gets really stressed out by other dogs sometimes, like in big environments, not like just face to face, but like in bigger environments. So when we're trying to integrate her at a dog park, that doesn't tend to go so well.
Huh.
Yeah, I can only imagine. That is the one
Yeah.
thing I will say I kind of like about having a cat is that I can just like she can just kind of hang out in my apartment and I don't have to like make her be friends with other animals. I don't know how else she would do.
Oh, yeah, no, she's cute, but yeah, she just doesn't have the typical, like, for example, dogs love going in cars. She gets really sick and gets really stressed out, so we can't take her in
Well, if
cars.
it makes you feel
So it's.
better, like other, I have never had a dog that hasn't thrown up in a car, so.
Oh, okay. So I don't feel like it's just our dog.
They make like certain car seats or something for dogs that get sick or anxious, I think. It like lifts them up a little bit, like up more to the window.
I
Do you have
wouldn't.
that?
No, we don't have a seat. Well, she usually takes like some sort of medication beforehand that just like makes her slightly drowsy, but like and it's good enough for her to like once we actually get to our location, she's okay.
It's doggy Dramamine.
There you
Yeah.
go. So yeah, it's just interesting because there are certain typical dog things that she's just not, she doesn't do. So, but she's still adorable, so we love her.
Well,
Aw,
I mean,
well, as
she's a
long as you
beagle.
still love
Like,
her.
how are beagles not adorable, right?
That is
They
true.
are freaking adorable. Yeah.
That is very, very
They are very
true.
uppity though, but they are, I
They
mean, they're not
are.
like Chihuahua uppity, but they're like, they you need to play with them.
You do. I mean, yeah. I learned this like a year ago. I mean, that they were actually like hunters. So I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you gotta give them something to kill. It's like cats.
Yeah, she loves digging, which I was just like, whoa, why does she like digging so much? And she's like, oh, it's just in their instinct to just be like a hunter and go like hide things. So
Yeah.
she'll like randomly like hide, like she's actually hiding nothing, but she like digs into a pillow. And she acts like she's hiding something, but she's not. And then she'll look at us like, hey, why aren't you looking for it?
It's like, 'cause they're I'm not that silly.
Yeah.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, she's funny.
That's too funny. I love, we have met a lot of like higher ed social pets on the show. So I'm glad that you're part of the crew.
Yes.
I also realized we have not had you introduce yourself. We talked about your beagle,
That's right.
but not about you.
Yeah.
So you can introduce yourself however you'd like, pets
All
included.
right. Well, hey everyone. My name is Michael Lemus. Pronouns are he, him, his, and I am a program coordinator up at a school in Sacramento, California. And I'm just excited to be here with you all.
So what programs are you coordinating?
So I am a coordinator for a center at Sac State, so here in Sacramento, and I coordinate a center called the Cerna Center, and its mission is all around leadership, empowerment, and advocacy of underrepresented students. So it's broad in the sense that there's a lot of just different types of services and programs that we provide, but it's all around again like that leadership, empowerment, and advocacy of students and addressing like any sort of like cultural barriers that impede them from seeking leadership opportunities. So I'm new to the role. I've been in it for almost 6 months. I was an academic advisor for 3 years before that. And now I'm the coordinator for this center. So it's a pretty different shift, but a really good shift. And yeah, I'm happy. I'm a alumni of Cal Poly Pomona and Fullerton, so I'm happy to also just be back at Cal State. So yeah, it's been a good solid almost 6 months.
That's awesome. I will say, I think, because we joke in higher ed how people have like really ridiculous job titles.
Yeah, no, I like that it's just like program coordinator. I'm like, it's easy to say.
Yes.
It's
You can
not
put
a
it
long
on one
title.
line in your business card and your email signature.
In the past, I was an advisor for the Economics, History, and East Asian Studies department. So that used to be a mouthful when I used to have to present myself at meetings.
Yep. It's helpful, but also not, to have these ridiculous titles. We have a couple here at UNC that I will say, I'm like, you guys just picked random words out of the dictionary. That's not a real title. Come on. Come
Like, what'd you
on.
add there? Yeah,
So I didn't realize when we asked you in the show that you were so new in your position.
I'm
How,
just
like,
almost
you know,
in.
so you started, you said about 6 months ago, so you've already gone through a semester.
Yes, so I
Okay.
went through that last half of summer and then fall semester, which was also, so I was at a quarter, I was in a quarter system beforehand, and so it's been actually a really nice transition to be in a semester school. The quarter system goes by really, really quickly, especially in between winter quarter and spring quarter. You tend to get like a couple days in between. This is nice because the students they're gone, I think, for winter break for about 5 weeks, so we got that solid time to prepare for spring, and it doesn't feel rushed. So it's a nice transition in that way too.
And so, do you have a very large team as you're like prepare with like preparing with very little time in between?
So I'm lucky in the space that I'm in is that there's multiple programs in our physical space. So we all work really closely together on our leadership team, which is really nice. And I also have student employees that I supervise as well. So it's a pretty good sized team.
That's really nice. It must have been
Yeah.
interesting, like, to make the transition into this new role.
Yeah, it's been I mean, it's a big shift because I was in the academic world for a while. So I mean, for 3 years, and so I was in academic affairs. And so even though I still got to integrate a good amount of my student affairs work, it wasn't as much as like a traditional student affairs job like I'm in now. And I realized that I really missed that. And so I like, okay, like how do I get back to that state of mind? And yeah, I'm just like it's been. A good just learning experience because some of these things like I have done before, but some I've never done before, and so it's also just been a really good past couple of months in terms of just learning new things and collaborating with people. So, also my schedule, like I get to really set my schedule for the most part in terms of like meetings or really just like where like what types of committees I'm going to join. Like, so it's nice. It's flexible in that way.
Nice.
Are you still doing a lot of work like one-on-one with students then? The same that you were, I assume, with your advising role?
So that's the biggest difference. And I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, so in the past, I would have, let's say, like 20 to 30 appointments that were drop-in, some were scheduled. In this role, it's not like that. It's more on like building program initiatives, actual programs and services. And then I'm training students to do advising now. So that's the cool thing. So my student employees are the ones who are actually going to be doing more of the advising. But I do a lot of one-on-one development with them, and then, we're building up a scholars program, so more of a cohort-based model, and I'll be doing more of the like coordinating of the actual program, but also again developing any of the student leaders that will help coordinate that. So not so much of the regular one-on-ones, but I feel like I get to have more longer intentional one-on-ones with, not as many students, but with the students that are then advising other students.
So, how many students are you advising, working with? I don't know, advising, I guess.
Yeah, so the student employees that I have right now, I currently have one, but it's going to turn into three, and one of them is going to be a grad student, so I'm excited about that too. And so it'll be a total of three in the next couple of weeks. I'm actually in recruitment right now.
It's funny because you said you have one and it's going to turn into three, which of course I envisioned your student like morphing into like like taking itself and then just going like bloop bloop and becoming three instead of one. But I totally know what you mean. Unless you do have a magic student that can turn itself into three people, then that's pretty amazing. So that's like an interesting, is this a common practice to have students advising other students?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, I think, I'm very used to that just because being in advising, we had peer advisors. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to that structure. This is a little bit different though, because I mean, the peer advisors that I'm used to were advising on academics.
Right.
And they were more of like the quick appointments. Like when you were meeting with a student peer advisor, like usually they'd spend like maybe 10, 15 minutes with you. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to do now is like really train students to do, you know, very holistic advising. Of course, you know, if there's things that are like emergency cases or, you know, more of like the, you know, emotional, you know, type conversations that, of course, like training them to be able to, you know, utilize the resources and then actually, you know, bring those to me. Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to take on a whole bunch of, you know, intense work either. It's nice to, you know, to teach them that too, because I mean, I have a lot of students that want to go into education and counseling in the future. So this is also my way of giving them that opportunity to start that at an early age and, you know, at the point that they're at in their undergraduate career. So I've done a lot of training for staff advisors. And, you know, I've been involved in like the academic advising side of like the professional development. So I'm like, well, why can't undergrad students actually go through this training? And so I've changed that structure a bit in terms of let's have them do more of this holistic advising and really not use that as a buzzword. Cause I mean, you know, holistic has become such a overly used word in a lot of spaces. And so even explaining to them like what that is, why it's important. I'm excited for it. It should be a good service that we're going to provide, and it gives them the opportunity to also just expand upon, you know, their mentorship and their advising skills. So it should be a good shift.
Yeah. I was going to say it seems like it might be challenging, but maybe not if this is kind of their intended career path of like drawing that line between what, I don't want to say, what are you allowing them to take on? Cause that sounds a little controlling, but you know, like for their own sake, they are still learning, right? Like, so how do you kind of like figure out when you say, okay, I'll take it from here versus letting them kind of learn?
Yeah. So right now we've been doing actually a lot of scenario based training. Mm-hmm. And I used to actually be in a space where I had to actually dismiss students from the university due to the academics. And so I heard, I mean, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
When it came to having those conversations. And so I've even been sharing with them, like the types of things that really come up in those conversations. They're not going to really be having, you know, or they shouldn't really be encountering, you know, very intense conversations, because really the students coming into our space are, you know, talking more about, you know, leadership opportunities and ways to get involved and, you know, like careers and internships and things like that. So of course, you know, things can come up, but it's not set up in the way that, you know, those are going to be your normal conversations. But I have been sharing with them just like examples or scenarios that can come up, and then also mechanisms to be able to do the handoff. And, you know, we're all in the same like physical building and space. So, you know, helping them to understand, like, you know, if you start to have this conversation or someone discloses this, like, how do you actually do the handoff to be like, I'm going to actually transition you to, you know, our program coordinator, or, you know, thank you for sharing that, but I want to go ahead and connect you to someone that could best help you with this. And also just letting them know, like, it's okay not to know the answer to everything, and it's better to go ahead and ask or refer than to make up something that's going to be completely wrong. So just honestly, it's been having a lot of just transparent conversations with them and letting them know that I don't expect them to be perfect. And I also don't expect them to be like fully like, yeah, like I am amazing at this, you know, from the very beginning. It's all about progress. And I mean, even as staff members, you know, we're always learning too. So it's more of sharing with them that, you know, it's okay to go ahead and still be in development mode.
That's true. This reminds this. I feel like I'm going back to my RA days where, like,
Yeah.
it was. I kind of joke that I was like just a really well-trained operator because I knew who to call.
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
I
I mean,
am the person that can
that's key
direct you.
number one, you know? I mean, to being any part of any university is knowing who to call whenever you have trouble.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
mean,
we need to be
that's
informed.
advising 101. That's just in general, like being able to navigate, because if you're the person who knows who to contact, everyone thinks you're awesome. And it's a great way to really make it in the workplace, I think, and to build that
I
kind
agree.
of influence.
You gotta be informed. At least one would hope that you're informed, right? So.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing too is I forgot where I read it, but like people are, X percent, like significantly higher percentage more likely to make something up than say, I don't know, because they don't want to admit that they don't know something.
That's the way everybody is. I mean,
It's,
I
yeah.
found myself, like, I try not to be that way, but I'll catch myself every now and then. Someone will ask me a
Right.
question and I'll want to help them. And sometimes you have to realize that, maybe guessing isn't always the best answer. Unless,
Right.
like, it's a very informed guess, I guess. You guess.
Yeah, I mean, just like I think as what I've been sharing with them, like, and you're dealing with other people's lives here, and so it's just better to just go ahead and be like, honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to give you the wrong response, so let me go figure that out. Because I mean, I've also seen cases in the past where, like, because you don't want to look, like you don't know something, it's just like telling them like the wrong requirement, and then they are not able to graduate on time. And it's like that one response can go ahead and like influence what something will look like 2 years later. And so after seeing cases like that, I'm just like, no. Like just ask the question. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, especially in talking about students, like classes they're taking, grades, like anything like that, like you said, 2 years down the road, that could still take effect.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Man, I feel a little bit stressed out now. Do you feel stressed every day? Like, you're
Well,
impacting so many futures.
thanks.
That
I
is
would
where
hope so.
self-care is important.
Yeah, it is. That's so true.
Yeah, like I discovered this cool thing today. Like you can go and get a massage and it's great. That's a
Right?
good way of self-care,
Yeah.
I decided after this crappy weekend I've had. Why
You
not, right?
just.
There you go. I feel like that's a lot of people's New Year's resolutions this year. That's been a
Self-care.
trend I've been noticing. Yes.
Wasn't it one of our self
I think
our
it was.
resolutions? Like
I think
the
we made
like
too
our
many. I feel like that is a fault that I come to every year is that I make like 17 of them and I can't remember which ones I made.
Well,
I make tons
luckily
of
they are
them.
all in the first, episode
That is true.
of the year, so we can always go back and re-reference them. But yeah, I think it's our
Yep.
first resolution is self-care. So that and some others, but you can all see a list of them on the website. But I think
Nice.
it's I thought it was ambitious. Ambitious to
Michael,
go.
do you make too many resolutions?
So I've moved to a different approach. So I don't make resolutions, I make intentions. And so I do weekly intentions instead of, so I did, okay, so I did do 2019 intentions, but they were related to things that I'm already working on. So I
Got it.
set weekly intentions, so every Sunday, and like I have this new ritual that I do, I guess. So every Sunday, I call it Abundant Sundays, and I pick a theme of some sort to focus on that has to do with like just abundance and happiness. And that's when, so today is the day that I like set my intentions for the coming week, and that seems more attainable to me. And so I try to just do it. I try like every Sunday to just go ahead and like put myself in that. And it could look like a 5 minute thing, it can look like an hour thing. And then as far as like the 2019 thing, so this year I did do something different. So I mean, I set intentions, but I split them up. This is my type A showing, but I
I won't
split them up
judge.
categories. So That yeah, that was helpful because it didn't feel like it was all over the place. Like I put them into categories. So I had like a personal, I had one that was like fitness, and then I had another one that was more career focused, and then I had another one so like spirituality. So I put them into categories, and that just helps me organize things. And then periodically, I just look back at them like once a week and see where I'm at. But I'm also just not trying to be hard on myself, considering it's just what week. Well, I guess going into three, but yeah. But yeah, so I'm really big on those things, but I try to just do them weekly now instead of just like overwhelming myself and being like, okay, it's June and you have not met this, and you set this in January. Yeah.
Michael, you sound like the kind of person who would either have just purchased a bullet journal or has owned a bullet journal for like ever.
Yeah, so I do a lot of it on, so I do a lot of it just via like my phone. So I'll end up using notes a lot. I try to use like a planner for it or like a just to write down things, but I realize that I'm just not the best at keeping up with like actually writing down like personal goals. Like I use digital means a lot. And that just helps. Even when I'm like just developing like creative content, like I'll go back to things that I like put down on my phone or like pictures that I've saved or things like that. So, but you're right. Yes, I am big on reflection and inquiry and all those things.
I like want to bullet journal so bad. Like I want to be that person that has like the really cute calendars and like the little, and it's like I just know myself that it's just not going to happen. So like I do have a planner, but it's literally a day planner where I write in the things I'm going to do that day and I just check them off. That is
Yeah,
how
the bullet
that is it.
journal, it looks super fun. I actually know of someone that's doing one right now, and they're super creative. My mind just doesn't work that way. It's much more logic oriented, and so I just like even thinking about creating like images and drawing for like a day just makes me anxious, and so I'm just like, I'm good.
If someone, maybe I can find someone to like bullet journal for me. Like they
Oh.
can call me every day and be like, Jackie, like, what do you want in your bullet journal today? I'd be like, oh, like a really cute, like calligraphy looking thing with like block text underneath and like check boxes for all these healthy habits. And then if you could just check them off for me, let me know if I drank enough water today. Like, I feel like bullet journaling is a third, like a full-time job. Like,
Is.
how does anyone do it?
I don't know.
It is. I'm just like, I don't, well, one, I don't have the creativity for it. And
Me either. Oh my
also,
God.
it's just, yeah, I don't have those artistic skills, and that's okay. I'm better at other things.
I saw a Belmont student. She's actually been teaching other students how to bullet journal like that. I was in like line at one of the food places on campus, and she pulled it out and she was looking at it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm like, and I was like, this looks like a professional journal. Like that was printed like this. It was so cool. But I'm just like you. I can't. I use notes for everything. The only physical like journal that I have is one that someone got me for Christmas, and I really just kind of write some stuff in it. It just tells me that I'm awesome, and it
There you
makes me
go.
smile every day. So, thanks, Jackie. That was actually a really awesome gift.
Damn. I didn't even pay him to say that.
That is
No,
great.
but it is actually kind of awesome because, I mean, it's like I think it's called like the Awesome Journal. I keep it in my bag, and I pull it out and I just look at it and write some stuff in it, and it makes me feel better about myself. So, yay!
See?
The whole point of it is to put in something that you've done that is awesome today to make you.
Oh,
It's pretty
that's
good.
really cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that kind
cool.
of stuff I can like handle. Like I have a oh,
You
it's
can
called
handle
one.
buying someone a journal and letting them do it
No,
for
no,
themselves?
no. Like the process of that. Like I have a journal that's it's called One Line a Day, and there's actually like only 4 lines, and so you don't have to write a lot, and you just write a little quick like this is what happened today, and so it's actually 5 years worth, and the
Wow.
days stay the same. So like next year on like January 1st, I'll see like my entry from 2019 and I'll be like, oh, that happened a year ago. That's great. And like you, it's kind of like time hop, in real life paper version.
Yeah.
But also just like a nice little reflection thing that doesn't require like hours of like journaling. It's just like a sentence or two. So that I can handle.
I'm all about like the daily rituals. Like every
Yeah.
morning, I like will get to the parking lot 20 minutes early so I can go ahead and just look at affirming things, and then I will use that time for like a good 20 minutes just to look at pictures, quotes, and then I'll walk into the office.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah, it's been nice. I implemented it in, I think it was either September or October. And yeah, because before I would get there early and I would just like start looking through Facebook or Instagram, and I was just like, how do I be a little bit more productive with this?
Right.
And yeah, it's been really nice because it sets the tone for like the
Yeah.
day.
I wish there was
Maybe I
Wi-Fi in the
should.
parking garage.
Can
Then
you
there's
that
use your
because I am
over
using.
the sink data, yeah.
Well, Belmont's parking garages are underground, under the buildings.
Ooh.
So, like, there's not even cell phone signal. Like, there's nothing.
Oh no. That's
So,
rough.
yeah.
Well,
Like, the radio barely works.
there's an access thing then. So maybe that will look different for you.
Yeah, maybe just sit in the car and stare at the
You could like
speedometer.
read a chapter of like a, because there's those books out there that are like, you're great. Here's some little like
Yeah.
one-liners about why you're great. Like one of
Yeah,
those
that
types
would
of
require
books.
carrying
That's
books with
true.
me. See, I'm carrying like one journal with me. Isn't that enough?
I'm just okay, then maybe you can write in that
Or
journal
maybe I
in
could
your
just
car.
download the ebook.
There we go. We found a
There we
solution.
go.
Look at
There we go.
that.
Yeah.
We found a solution. I
Technology.
actually semi similarly in terms of wasting your time scrolling on like Instagram and all that. I just decided at the beginning of the year, I turned off my like push notifications and the little red number notifications for all social
Oh, yeah.
media. So the only things that now pop up on my like home screen on my phone are news alerts, work email, I hate to say it, but work email, and text messages and phone calls, obviously, because I still make phone calls, yes. So those are the only things that pop up anymore, and it's been incredible,
That's
like
awesome.
incredible. And I don't see the little red numbers. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
yeah.
It's
That is
amazing.
awesome.
The little red
That
numbers
takes
are a source
dedication.
of, yeah.
It's
Yeah.
well, it's kind of funny because I've realized I've been a little less in touch with people as frequently as I was because I didn't realize how much I leaned on like Facebook Messenger, even like Snapchat to kind of have an ongoing conversation. So at the end of the day, I'll be like, oh, I haven't opened Snapchat all day. And I'll have like all these messages from friends. And it's like, oh, I should
Yeah.
have replied to that. Like, sorry. But it's been nice so far. I don't look at my phone as much. That's for sure.
I can imagine. Yeah, that would make a big difference.
For sure.
I have
I
to look
gotta
at my
try.
screen time for this week now because, you know, how many
Oh,
times have I
okay.
picked up
So
my phone?
what is that?
I hate
This
it. It's the worst
paper thing.
thing.
It's not the worst thing. It's what made you turn off all your notifications.
I guess it subliminally did. Like,
Like
it
the
could
fact that
explain.
it told you picked up your phone 500 times a day made you realize maybe I shouldn't pick up my phone 500 times a day.
It was pretty aggressive, I will say. And then it's like, that's a 30% increase from last week. It's like, oh, sorry.
The percentage thing is they get, yeah, that's what gets to me. I'm just like, well, okay, thanks.
Hey, I'm down to 6 hours and 59 minutes on my phone per day.
What?
Wow.
Are you on your phone more than you sleep?
That's a good question.
That's a
I
good
think I'm right,
question.
Logan. I think I'm right.
You might be right.
I think I'm right.
You might be right.
That's a good
Just
question. I think
saying.
that's just this week, but this just seems really high.
Look at your life, look at your choices. I'm just saying. Maybe turn off the
Well,
notifications.
let me
It's been a
say that
wonderful
8 hours
chat.
and 50 minutes of it was on, most of it's on Safari and news. So I'm just reading the news and reading Safari.
But you're still on your phone. My question was, are you on your phone more than you sleep? And the answer is still yes. Now
Well,
I
the
want
answer isn't no.
to check.
It's about the same.
It is yes.
You know, at least you're getting informed, so I'll give you that.
That is true. I probably this last week has been was a rough week though. So, there was lots
Going
of things
on.
happening on social media, so I had to
Yeah.
from a work standpoint.
Yeah.
that I had to keep an eye on stuff, and I think that's why my numbers are so high this week, because
Gotcha.
it really did peak around Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday,
Yeah.
which is when all the fun was happening. So,
There you go.
Oh dear.
yeah.
My screen time, like, just info won't load, so I'm kind of sad.
It takes it a
Oh.
minute. It has to think
There is
about
a
it.
button though that says turn off screen time, just for the record. If anyone needs to know that, you can turn it
I
off.
didn't think it was an
You can turn it off
option.
and continue to live in the bliss of not knowing how often you're picking up your phone.
Right.
The problem is not screen time. Screen time is just telling you the truth. That's the problem. It's telling
That's
you if
true.
you have a
Just let
problem.
I don't
That's
admit the truth.
Plus, the great thing about screen time is that you can set limits. I haven't done that, but you can do that.
I would guess you haven't.
Hey, but the cool thing is that I use it to, I use it also to see kind of how much Simon's looking at his iPad, which is important. We should always keep up with how often our kids are using
Yeah.
your screens. And he's at 2 hours a day, so that's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I can't argue with that.
They love
Actually,
their
I'm
iPad.
sorry.
It
That
doesn't
was this
matter.
week. Like, if you look at it over time, it is 1 hour and 28 minutes. So that's actually really good.
Yeah,
Yay.
that's
We
significant
have
difference. Yeah.
cut him down. Saturday's just the only day that he spent like 4 hours on it. But that's like Saturday morning
It's the weekend,
cartoons.
you
Yeah,
know,
it's the
whatever.
weekend.
Yeah, the weekend. Wow.
Anyway.
Well, I was gonna ask, I ask this all the time, especially now that we're like back in the swing of things. So, like, what is on your desk right now? Like, what are you dealing with at work now, especially now that we like just kicked off the semester?
So we're definitely getting ready for spring to start. So that starts not this coming week, but the week after. So a good amount of my job is programming. So planning out events, bringing on speakers onto campus, things like that. And then really, like, I have been taking on really the redevelopment of our center because I'm the first official coordinator to be in this role, because in the past it was actually someone that was helping with multiple centers. And so I kind of came in to help in what already existed, but also to go ahead and work on the redevelopment of it and what we want it to be. So that was really the first couple of months, I feel like, of my position. So a lot of meetings, just collaborating, coming up with different plans. And so I think spring is going to be more of the implementation of all that. So I'm just super excited. Got to meet really cool people and just see ways to connect the students, not just on campus, but also like how to connect them to things in the city as far as like opportunities. We're taking on a lot of civic engagement pieces, so that's been really cool. And just to, yeah, just get them excited for just the new semester, seeing what the summer opportunities look like. So it's a lot of just different things that we're going to be trying, but I'm excited for them.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said summer.
Yeah,
I
summer's
know.
gonna be here
Can't
before
believe
we know it.
it. Insane. I
Remember,
can't
it's the
believe
class of 2023.
2023.
Oh my
Oh man.
We're living in the future.
Getting ready.
Where is
Wow.
my jet-powered hover car?
Coming soon.
Yeah, where are the flying skateboards? Where are they at?
That's true. What year was the Jetsons supposed to be set in?
1996?
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow. Do we even have like iPods in 1996?
No.
Yeah, we
Bluetooth
Did you know
headphones?
what I think though?
I
Or
don't even.
maybe.
Pop quiz, Logan. What year did the iPod come out?
2002, I think.
That sounds about right.
Are we looking it up? When did the
Sorry, the
iPod?
Jetsons was in 2062, but still, we're not gonna have it.
You
Oh.
were so close with
That's a huge
1996.
difference.
No, I thought it was 1996, but
The first podcast, the first iPod came out in 2001.
I'm wrong.
So we still have a chance to actually live like the Jetsons.
Just,
Do
you know what, 40-ish years? We'll
Yeah.
see.
We'll figure it out. You heard it here first, listeners.
I mean, I've got a robot that cleans. That's step
one,
right?
That is true. That is very
and,
true.
We have push button finger. It's called carpal tunnel syndrome.
Well, see, there's
two things that
there's
the
hope
Jetsons
for the future
brought us. You know, I would not call my Roomba Rosie though. I thought about it, but I didn't.
Why not?
Because that's just, I don't know. It's like, is it DJ Roomba or is it Rosie?
I like DJ Roomba.
I like DJ Nothing Roomba too. Hope. See, that's the kind of future I want to live in.
Isn't DJ Roomba like you stick an iPod on top of it and it?
Yes, it is, Jackie, with a Bluetooth speaker.
Do you actually do that?
Well, I mean, I thought about it, but then I got Alexa's and they just play the music.
Oh, right. You know, she does a lot already.
Do you have a special Roomba playlist on Spotify that we can all follow?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I've actually tied my Apple Music to my Alexa's, so there's that.
Oh, cool. Well, I expect Logan by next week to have a Roomba playlist that all of us can listen to.
Okay.
It's a good assignment.
It is an assignment.
It is.
Listeners, if you have suggestions for what would go on said playlist, please tweet us at HES Podcast or directly at Logan, which is at Logan. I can't wait to hear these songs.
I mean, I would rather them go and fill out that listener survey, but you know that
we they can do both. They can do both. They can do both.
Maybe if they do the survey, they got special access to your playlist.
Yes, we'll send it as a thank you. This is a great idea. I like it. I like it. I truly can't even. I'm trying to like come up with something funny right now that would be on a vacuuming playlist, and I truly nothing is coming to my brain.
That is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I will think on it. I would like all of us to think on this.
Logan, it sounds like you have a big task ahead.
I do. I do. Along with dealing with the cat and various other things. So it should be an interesting week. I'm so excited.
I'm still thinking of vacuum songs, guys. I'm stuck.
That's because there aren't any.
There's got to be something that's like involving like either like the carpet, like
the carpet,
cat hair.
Cat hair. Oh yeah, I know so many songs about cat hair.
Like the truly the word suck is in so many songs.
Yeah, but not in that. Not the kind of suck that you're wanting to have.
Right, like a true like sucking the dirt off the carpet.
That's right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll think on.
We'll think about songs to use with our Dyson animal vacuum cleaners and our Roombas. Those are my two vacuums of choice. So there you go.
Man,
there we go.
Well, I feel like this is where we call it, guys. Like we've gotten to what is your vacuum Spotify playlist. we've reached the end of kind of our time limit. So I feel like this is a great time to thank Michael for being on the show with us this week.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it was fun.
It was so great to have you. And listeners, if you're still here, we appreciate you. Please head over to our website, highered.social. You can find links to all the great stuff we talked about today, including ways to connect with Michael if you want to ask him some questions about his new job. We are also doing a listener survey. Don't forget about it. You can head to higheredsocial.survey. To fill that, I'm sorry, highered.social/survey. I got it so wrong. It's not in front of me, so that's why. But you can head over and complete that survey because we want to learn more about you, and we should have done this years ago, and we're really sorry we didn't, but we are doing this now. And if you fill out the survey before, what is it, Logan, February 5th?
We're going to. Something like that.
Give you a prize. Well, you could win a prize, potentially. Not, I can't guarantee you a prize.
Yeah, it's a seat on the Higher Ed Experts Analytics Conference. It's about a $500 value, so you should do it.
Yeah. There you go.
There's an incentive. So again, that's higered.social/survey. we really, really appreciate it. All right, other things. We are on Twitter at HES Podcast. Definitely tweet us. We love talking to you. And if you want to be on the show, shoot us a message on Twitter, or you can reach out to us personally. I'm at Jackie Vetrano. Logan is at Logan. Also, don't forget, we are part of the Connect EDU Network, which is the first podcast network for higher education. So if you want to learn more about that, you can follow them on Twitter, which is at Connect EDU Pod, or head over to the website connectedu.network. If you like our show, please give us a review, especially if you use like Apple Podcasts or any of those other players that allow for reviews. It helps other people find the show and it lets us know what you think. Big thanks to Emma Hawes and Mariah Barksdale, who make Higher Ed Social awesome. And we hope to see you next week.